This is an iHeart podcast.
Joe Biden called out Ron Johnson, and Ron Johnson's here to respond. We have culture war stuff, climate change insanity, the funniest light in the mood we've ever done. All that and more is coming up tonight on I'm Right. I keep getting sent this. A lot of people were sending me this montage by my buddy Tom Elliott of Democrats claiming Trump is going to weaponize the DOJ.
Now that he's got the right attorney general in position to do it, we now know they really have been trying to gin up criminal prosecutions and criminal investigations into the president's perceived enemies, politically motivated persecution, right? Courtesy of Bill Barr. I'll roll in the FBI on you. That's how banana republics work, right?
Bill Barr, on the president's behalf, is weaponizing the Justice Department to go after the president's enemies. When you win an election, you don't seek to just prosecute the losing side.
The president using the Justice Department as a weapon to get what he wants.
Department of Justice is totally politicized.
Sicking the Department of Justice on political opponents.
Threatening to imprison his political rival, banana republic style.
He's using government resources to go after his political opponent.
Criminally investigating an American political rival, someone the president is worried about losing to in the next election.
To investigate my principal opponent or a principal opponent in the upcoming election. Houston, we have a problem.
Donald Trump and his attorney general are using the Justice Department. The difference between this and a banana republic is that Trump does not eat fruit.
The 2020 election is really the last chance we have to stop our system from fully sliding into a corrupt banana republic.
Bill Barr has done everything that Donald Trump has wanted him to do.
Yeah.
We're living in a banana republic right now.
We're no better than some, some banana republic.
Yeah, we got it. Everyone pointed out that clip. It's a great clip. Credit to Tom for it. But what they pointed out was the hypocrisy of the communists. And again, we miss it. We miss it every single time. If you see that clip and you see the hypocrisy of the communists, you're missing it. What you should be seeing is the weak patheticness of the right. The difference is when they say we're going to lock him up, they get in office and they do it. When we say lock her up, drain the swamp, we get in office and we act like it was all just a friendly game, and let's let bygones be bygones. Again, I admire that the communists actually mean what they say. Now, Joe Biden meant what he said when he was blasting away at Ron Johnson.
But then, when I signed the bipartisan infrastructure again, which people like Ron believe that is a good thing, the corporate American bottom line is if that's all you need to look at, it's good for America. Well, that's not my bottom line. You can see how Ron Johnson's rationale and mega rationale worked out.
I'm still not even sure what to ask the senator, because I'm still not sure that that was an insult, because none of the words came out right. But joining me now, maybe he can decipher it. He's the senator. Senator from Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, I'm about 50% sure that you were insulted there by the president, but I don't know. You tell me.
Well, again, I couldn't quite understand him either, but I'm 100% sure he was insulting me. It's interesting. I got a text from a reporter of the New York Times saying that he was accusing me of outsourcing jobs to China. I actually exported plastics to China when I was in business. And my response was, he is senile and he's lying. And it's interesting, the only part that the New York Times published was, he's lying.
Yeah, it is interesting how much everyone has avoided that. And obviously, we're going to get to all the Hunter stuff and the special counsel stuff in a minute. But look, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be. I'm sure you don't claim to be. But I don't know what Joe Biden has. Senile, dementia, Alzheimer's. I don't know. And I don't wish any of that on him or anybody, even though I hate the freaking guy. But he clearly is not a functional adult. And he's the commander in chief. And it's wild how that's always story number 50 in the paper instead of story number one. We need this guy to make important decisions, and he can't use his mind or his mouth.
No, his mental capacity is clearly diminished. I met Joe Biden as vice president to spend some time with him. He was a very nice guy. I have no personal animus toward him whatsoever. I, quite honestly, as a father, I feel nothing but empathy for him with just such a low life as a son as Hunter. But at the same time, he's been in business with Hunter. He is probably as corrupt as Hunter. He's the he's the Don, you know, he's the main guy. He's the big guy, apparently taking 50% of whatever income Hunter procured for the family, as well as 10% for the big guy. So, I mean, listen, he's corrupt. He's compromised. Senator Grassley and I showed that pretty conclusively in our September 2020 report, which was widely ignored by the media when they weren't calling it Russian disinformation.
Yeah, no, you've been great at exposing this Joe Biden family business. People call it Hunter's business. Hunter has no leverage. It's Joe Biden's business that Hunter Biden happens to work for. The question is anything going to be actually done about it? And I ask that because this special counsel already tried to get Hunter Biden some absurd blanket pardon deal that was so ridiculous, even the judge laughed about the whole thing. I just don't have a lot of confidence that the special counsel's there to do anything except for cover for the Biden family, like the rest of the government.
Now, listen, appointing David Weiss as special counsel was the latest corrupt act by Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice. You know, there are two primary requirements for a special counsel. Outside of government, he's obviously in government, but most importantly, somebody who's independent. And if you looked at 8 billion people on planet Earth here and figured out who would be the least independent person to serve as special counsel, it'd be David Weiss. I mean, he's the guy who engineered the sleazy sweetheart deal that he tried to pull the wool out over the judge's eyes. I mean, he's the guy that the 5 years of investigation did squat, allowed the statute of limitations to run on the more serious tax charges. Again, you can't trust this guy to investigate this. We had whistleblowers saying that he did not have the proper resources to do a proper investigation. So this is a sick joke on the part of Merrick Garland. Also, either David Weiss or Merrick Garland lied to Congress. This might frustrate the House's attempt to determine which one is culpable for lying to Congress.
Okay, explain, because that's not a small deal. Lying to Congress, especially if the Attorney General or David Weiss did it, is a big deal. What happened? Who lied?
Well, there were a number of letters going back and forth in terms of whether David Weiss asked for special counsel status, whether he had the ability to charge in these different jurisdictions. End up, he didn't. The political appointees by Biden couldn't do it. Again, it's a very confused tale. They've purposely tried to confuse it. So I can't really lay it out in detail because I don't know the real truth here. But all I know is that the stories between Merrick Garland in terms of how David Weiss is operating as the investigator here, as the U.S. attorney, is very confused and contradictory.
Let's talk about something different here, trust in the system. Because if people don't trust their institutions, the nation's coming apart. And right now we don't trust our institutions. And I think back to COVID and how much that improved the distrust, if that's even a way to put that. I remember when someone came out, I think it was Joe Rogan, said he treated COVID with ivermectin. And then I remember the system responding like this.
Did ivermectin do anything?
No.
Okay. Humans do take it, but not for this purpose.
Right. It does not help with COVID, and it could be dangerous.
It simply does not work as a treatment for COVID.
Let me just say very clearly that ivermectin is not a recommended treatment for COVID-19. It is not a recommended drug to prevent COVID-19. The best protection we have against COVID-19 is the vaccine.
Senator, the FDA just approved ivermectin for treating COVID-19. I personally know several doctors who treat patients successfully with ivermectin. And yet the system, their FDA, America's FDA, lied to them repeatedly. And so did their doctors. So did their medical institutions. Do people not understand this crisis of trust is a really big deal?
What the FDA did when pressed by a judge admitted that doctors have off-label prescription rights, and they have no role in preventing doctors from using any FDA-approved drug any way a doctor chooses to do it, unless specifically the FDA comes out and says there's some real dangers there. So the FDA should not be in the business of practicing medicine, and yet that's what they did by sabotaging the use of not only ivermectin. You know, hydroxychloroquine was also sabotaged. Somebody produced this fraudulent Surgisphere paper that ran The Lancet 2 weeks, completely fraudulent. I mean, the data was all made up, but a pretty well tanked hydroxychloroquine. All these people that you're showing on camera, they don't have a clue. None of them had the courage or compassion to treat COVID patients like the doctors you know, like the doctors I know. I refer to so many people, I heard so many remarkable turnarounds in a day, sometimes hours, with the administration of ivermectin, particularly used with a fatty meal, fatty foods, that type of thing, help the ingestion better. So, you know, that, budesonide, there are a host of generic drugs that work, but the FDA only approved expensive, patentable drugs like the vaccine, like Paxlovid, like Molnupiravir, monoclonal antibodies, which did work, but they didn't make those particularly available either. They really reserved their approvals for, you know, the big drugs, the expensive drugs, the profitable drugs for Pfizer and Moderna and other pharmaceutical companies.
Okay, so if the FDA is just a racket that's designed to line the pockets of pharmaceutical companies, why do we even have one? This is a harmful institution to America now.
We need a regulatory agency that is engaged in the public good, approving drugs from a standpoint of safety and efficacy. But we also need things like My Right to Try bill that allows patients, even if it's not fully proved in terms of effective, if it's safe, that should be a patient's right to make that decision. But the FDA is corrupt. The CDC is corrupt. The NIH is corrupt. There's a revolving door between those agencies and the big pharma. So the big pharma is captured, but not only the agencies, big pharma, through their billions of dollars of advertising, have also captured the mainstream media and the social media giants. And so they've captured the narrative as well, which is why they were able to censor the truth, why they were able to vilify and destroy these doctors. They didn't have to destroy many. They just had to yank the license or threaten the license of a few doctors, and all the other doctors, 80% who now work for a hospital, they told the line. They didn't ask any questions. They injected a remdesivir, which knocked out kidneys. Actually, was removed from Ebola trial because people were dying quicker with remdesivir. The WHO recommended against the use of remdesivir, and yet that was the treatment. There are so many conflicts, financial conflicts of interest with Gilead on that, and the vaccine. No generic drug need apply during COVID because there's just no profit, not for employees of our federal health agencies, not for the big pharma companies.
That's terrible. Senator, thank you. Come back soon.
Have a great day.
Now, you're not going to believe this story that I did not break. But it broke. You didn't hear about it anywhere else today, about Democrats using a nonprofit, a charity, to bank votes. They've been doing this for years now. You're not going to believe who's behind it. We'll bring you this story in just a moment before we bring you that. Feeling pretty good about our medical institutions, aren't you? Well, I know I am. Total confidence in these people. Nah, look, why do you think I tell you about chalk every day? I tell you about chalk because I have made it one of my goals in life to avoid the doctor's office at all costs. I know I'm going to have to go at some point. So are you. That's the way life works. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day to keep myself focused, energized, and ready to roll. You should take a female vitality stack every day if you're a woman, a male vitality stack every day if you're a dude. Plus, let me just say, natural herbal supplements, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days, fellas. Chalk. You should see their endless natural herbal supplements. Endless of the highest quality. And they're anti-communists. Go to choq.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off. Feel better than you've ever felt. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back. Did I ever tell you I worked in the nonprofit world? Just about a year. I hated it. Don't worry, I hated it. But I worked in that nonprofit world for a year, and it was eye-opening to me how truly crooked and bent the nonprofit, the charity world is, which is why my eyes perked up this morning when I saw this great piece of actual journalism from Parker Thayer, investigative researcher for Capital Research, about, of course, a nonpartisan charity out there, just, you know, doing the Lord's work. But instead, it's a massive get out the vote effort for Democrats. Do keep in mind that donations to nonprofits and charities are tax deductible. There's a lot of crookedness that goes on. Anyway, it's not my story, it's Parker's story. Parker, it's your story, not mine. You did the work on it. What's going on?
You would not believe the stuff that's going on behind the scenes of these nonprofits. There are some good nonprofits like the Capital Research Center, but at the Capital Research Center, we did some investigative work. It took us about 2 years of work But we did find evidence dating back to 2016 that there were emails being bounced around in John Podesta's email inbox about a thing called the Everybody Votes campaign. It was developed by cutthroat Democratic consultants. And the intention, it seems at the time, was to guarantee Hillary a 2020 re-election victory. Keep in mind that John Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. Now, the idea was to use nonprofits, which are tax-exempt. Donors can claim a tax exemption for the contributions they make to nonprofits. It was to use these nonprofits to conduct voter registration activities, a massive voter registration campaign, because they cared so much about the civic participation and civic engagement of minority community. Now, they cared about this so intensely that they were only going to register these people to vote in 8 swing states. It tells you a lot about their intentions. The plan was to register millions of people and produce millions of votes, because they found that just by registering people to vote, it made them much more likely to vote for their preferred candidate. Even more likely than being contacted by a campaign or campaign donations. They blasted this memo out, and eventually it got around to, who would you know, Sam Bankman-Fried's mom, who runs a PAC called Mind the Gap. It sounds hard to believe, but this is all completely true, and we have documentation for all of this. Sam Bankman-Fried's mom's PAC sent out emails to all of their Silicon Valley billionaire donors and told them, don't waste your time giving money to these candidates and these PACs and these campaigns. Instead, give it to these nonprofits, which are supposed to be nonpartisan, remember. They said that these nonprofits were 4 to 10 times more cost-effective at netting additional Democratic votes when compared to campaigns and PACs. That is a direct quote from the leaked memo that they shared around to their donors. They also told their donors, hey, don't tell people about this. Keep it secret from the Republicans, because if the Republicans find out about this, they're going to go to the media and tell people about these corrupt activities that we're engaging in. Now, this Everybody Votes campaign registered 5.1 million people across 8 states after spending $120 million in 5 years. Most of the money came from billionaires that you know, like Warren Buffett, George Soros, but some that you don't, like Hans-Jörg Wyss, a Swiss billionaire and a non-citizen, who spends tens of millions of dollars every year through dark money organizations and his own charitable foundation to influence U.S. politics in all sorts of ways that you can't even imagine. It's a remarkable story. I think it took 36 pages to write it down, but I highly recommend everyone should read it.
I highly recommend everybody read it. Go read Parker's story, Capital Research. Go read the story. Okay, Parker, I have a couple things I want to ask here as follow-ups, yeah. So just bear with me. This Swiss guy, I am fairly involved in politics, as you well know. I've never heard of this freaking guy. Who is this guy? What's his problem?
Hans-Jörg Wyss. Hard to pronounce name, Hans-Jörg Wyss. He was the CEO of a biotech company that got in trouble for running illegal experiments on people. Several of their board members went to jail over it. But Hans-Jörg did not. He was close friends with the Clintons and has been close friends with the Clintons for a very long time. In 2009, he was caught making illegal campaign contributions despite not being a citizen, not holding a green card at all. He is a Swiss foreign national, but was making campaign contributions through the FEC website. You can look up his name on the FEC website and find the contributions still to this day. He has a wild history of being involved in American politics in ways that he really shouldn't be. But his foundation was actually the one that gave Podesta this idea in the first place. The email shows his foundation president emailing Podesta and saying, hey, this is a great idea. This would allow our foundation to get involved in American politics, even though our primary donor is completely barred from it.
Okay, Parker, so I just want to break this down for idiots like me to make sure we understand this. Okay, so you have this Swiss commie piece of trash, and you have George Soros, and you have Sam Bankman-Fried's mother, and you have John Podesta. They come together to form a, quote, charity that's actually just a register new Democrats to vote thing, and over the course of 5 years, they sink $120 million into it and get 5 million new Democrats voting. Do I have that about right?
5 million registrations that produced about our estimates are 1.5 to 2 million votes for Democrats, which okay. is 1 to 3% of the total national turnout for Joe Biden.
And just to be clear, Sam Bankman-Fried, that would be the same Sam Bankman-Fried who just had all his charges dropped, correct?
Of course, the one that had $100 million of straw man contributions, and they're not going to charge him over that. They're just going to use them for evidence in other charges. Course, those might also
disappear. Okay.
I would be utterly shocked.
Now you understand. Now everyone understands what I mean when I call it the system. Okay, Parker, now all this obviously is bad, and it sounds bad, it sounds awful, but there are many things that are bad that aren't illegal, like ricotta cheese. That's bad, but it's not illegal. Was something illegal done here?
It's one of those things where it's extremely on the line. The IRS has turned, the IRS and FEC for that matter, have completely turned a blind eye to this stuff for decades. If you'll remember, Obama's first job was a community organizer at Project Vote. Stacey Abrams, she also ran a nonprofit that actually got money from this organization, the New Georgia Project. She was entered the political scene as one of these community organizers and nonpartisan voter registrators. Whether or not the law was actually broken is, I'm no lawyer, I couldn't tell you for sure. They are as far over the line as I think you could possibly be without the IRS doing anything, as they've continued to not do anything about this for years. Something needs to change.
Are we doing anything like this that you know of? Why are we doing this stuff?
I think there's one guy on the entire conservative side that's doing anything like this, Scott Pressler, who you've probably heard of before. I think he's the only one, and he's doing it through a PAC. I don't think even back in his heyday, Karl Rove, who is one of, you know, most famous conservative political operators of all time, I don't think even he would have considered doing this stuff with a nonprofit, because the IRS would have jumped all over it, because the IRS would never be biased. Lois Lerner didn't exist.
Yeah. No, we love Scott Pressler on the show. I personally am a donor to that PAC. We love what Scott does. Parker, love what you do. That's outstanding work, brother. Come back soon.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
You bet. All right. John Podesta is a world-class piece of trash, as you just heard Parker talk about. But man, did he have something revealing to say about the Maui fires. We'll talk to Mark Morano about that next before we talk to Mark. All those people, the big club we're not in, to use a George Carlin line, they're also the people who run the financial system, the people trying to turn the dollar all digital while at the same time destroying the value of it, spending trillions of it. You know, your 401k, IRA, they're the people trying to destroy it. So what can you do? Normal citizen feels helpless, and in many ways we are, aren't we? But not totally helpless. We can make preparations. We can purchase things that last, things that are insulated from these people. Gold, silver, whatever. I don't care which one. What it is doesn't matter to me. Get value, hard value in your hands. Get it in your 401k. Get it in your IRA. Don't let these people take away that retirement you've worked so hard for. Oxford Gold handles all this for you in a totally chill way, which is just, that's what I love so much. They make it easy, which I need, and it's not a used car sale. That's what I need. 833-995-GOLD. They'll handle it all. Just tell them I told you to call. They'll take good care of you. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not. And the reason why, and
so many people said they could have been saved if they had time to escape. Had a siren gone off, they would have known that there was a crisis emerging. And as we know, so many bodies were found in the ground.
Do you want him to give you the answer, or do you want to let him finish his answer?
I'm sorry, there's a lot of people.
Well, you're talking, and you're not letting him talk. If you want to talk, come up here.
I'm ready for the answer.
Then wait.
Have you sounded the siren that night? We're afraid that people would have gone Malka. And if that was the case, then they would have gone into the fire.
What? If we sounded the alarm, we were worried people would run into the fire? Joining me now, Mark Morano, author of The Great Reset. Mark, let me see if I understand this right. Hawaii, their disaster relief guy set off no sirens as the fires blazed, and then when asked about it, he said he thought they just run into the flames blindly? Is that what I just heard?
You know, what this is, we saw the exact same thing with COVID. Public health officials, government officials now believe in any crisis that we are morons and that we can't be left to our own devices, that we're not supposed to do anything until they explicitly tell us what to do. mask, vax mandate, stay at home. And the idea that a warning would be bad because the government wasn't prepared to tell you exactly how to handle the warning. So we're not going to give you the warning that we could easily do, that we were claiming our warning system was the envy of the world. This was the Hawaiian wildfire and emergency response warning system, and nary a siren went off. Because they thought the Hawaiians were too stupid and would run the wrong way or end up getting killed, which sadly many did because there were no warnings, which their tax money had paid good money to get. And there's many other factors as well. But hey, Jesse, one thing that's really simple, why not just blame climate change? And then it's your SUV's fault and we're all responsible and we have to go full Marxist in order to prevent the next Hawaiian wildfire and the deaths that associated with it. This is a very telling moment. That clip you played is a good snippet into the mindset of what we're dealing with unelected bureaucrats.
Speaking of blaming climate change, John Podesta got up to the podium and did, well, pretty much exactly that.
This summer has brought one climate disaster after another, from extreme heat in Arizona and Texas and across the Southeast to floods in Vermont and upstate New York to thick smoke from Canadian wildfires. And all of us have watched in horror as the Maui fires have claimed over 100 lives, the largest loss of life of a fire in the last 100 years in America. To stop these disasters from getting even worse, we have to cut the carbon pollution that's driving the climate crisis, and that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is all about.
Mark, so let me see if I understand this right. These people are so lacking in humanity that they can just see people charred to death, and immediately it's the Inflation Reduction Act and climate change. Just really anti-humans, Mark, is what they are.
Yeah, they're looking for something that doesn't implicate them. We now know that this was bad land management, bad emergency system response. We now know that the electrical grid wasn't updated. And do you want to know why? Because the electrical grid supervisors were worried about renewable energy and investments in the solar, wind, and going with the Inflation Reduction Act. And Hawaii is going to be a green leader. Instead of making the actual energy that powers the island safer, updated. We saw the same thing in Texas, by the way, when their grid collapsed during the cold snap that they had a few years ago. They had spent so much money on the green energy, they didn't actually make sure that they had a reliable grid with all, and even despite that, they still had fossil fuels fared the best. But in Hawaii, so many different problems. But with the Podesta clip is important here because our global ruling class is ready to pounce on this. We've already got people behind the Green New Deal now pushing Joe Biden to declare a national climate emergency. What an opportunity. A wildfire happens in Hawaii, despite the fact that wildfires are on no trend or declining trend, radically declining trends, actually, both in the US and globally. And the fact that this happened because of human error all throughout the state, and you can search for it, and it's just coming up. Horrible facts on that, but it's much easier to do that. And then they have momentum now to declare a national climate emergency, because if they do, Joe Biden gets 130 executive powers, goes to mayors and governors. And what a better way, what a great way to find a, quote, build back better aspect of the Hawaiian fire. At least some good will come of it. We can declare a national climate emergency, and we can then essentially bypass democracy again, like we did in COVID with all these new restrictions.
These friggin' people. Plus the arson, Mark. People don't talk about that. California always has these wildfire problems because of forest mismanagement. And about every time people look into it, you find out it's some one of these climate change hippie freaks who's out there starting fires on purpose.
Yes. In fact, I think with that stat, by one of the Hawaiian wildfire group, like 98% are started by humans. And a lot of it could be a cigarette butt. It could be campfires, it could be accidents, it could be arson. But the idea, and it wasn't necessarily, it's very rarely lightning strikes in Hawaii. And it could have even the hurricane, which again, hurricanes are not on global increasing trends, they're actually declining, but it could have been hurricane winds that helped spark this. But the ultimate thing is the reason climate-related deaths are down 99% globally over the last 100 years is because of our technology and our advanced warning, and we're building infrastructure now using fossil fuels to make us safe from the climate, regardless of whether you believe it's man-made or natural. And in this case, human error failed that because we didn't even give people the chance. And what's interesting about this is New York Times, USA Today, and ABC News all recognize this. They've run stories basically saying this was not a climate. Guess what the reaction was? ABC News did a headline saying this was not a caused by climate change, and they were hit with the F-word bombs by climate activists. And within 24 hours, they reversed their headline and it said this was not entirely a climate change wildfire in Maui. So that's the kind of pressure that academia, the climate activists have on our corporate media. ABC News now literally had to change their headline and parts of the article to meet the climate agenda because they dared tell the truth about the fact that there was no climate link in this wildfire.
Yeah, Mark, thank you, brother. Come back soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jesse. Appreciate it.
We got more. That culture war stuff, wins, losses. Let's have a chat with Peachy Keenan about that before we chat with Peachy. I've got this thing going on with the wife at the house. You see, we have our dog, Fred. And I will admit, he's just a big, fluffy meathead who has to be loved on 24 hours a day. No matter what happens, he comes and puts his head on you. Just please love me. And so this dog has so endeared himself to the house. He's only like 3 years old. She's already worried about him dying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a mess that day. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know this, though. I give my dog referines to try to push that day out as far as humanly possible. Why do you think veterinarians write me all the time? Jesse, I recommend it to every customer. Jesse, have all my dogs on it. Give your dog actual nutrition. Natural herbal supplement you pour on your dog's food. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. It's all dead. It's all crap. Give them Rough Greens. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free bag. You just pay for the shipping. Let them ship you a free bag. See how your dog likes it. You will see differences in your dog. Or you can call them. 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back. Putting your money where your morals are. We talk about it all the time on the show. It's an ongoing battle. But if you think of it like a battle, it can be a grind. Think of it like this. You get a vote in the culture war every single day. Where you spend and don't spend your money, it's a vote. You don't have to wait till next November. You have a vote today. Where are you going to spend money? Where are you not? And we are starting to apply ourselves to this in really wonderful ways in the corporate world. We're starting to make our voices heard. Joining me now to talk about that is the author, Peachy Keenan. It has a great book, Domestic Extremists, which I would recommend to everybody. Peachy, okay, Target, I've got some bad news. What's the bad news and what exactly happened out there?
Yeah, their sales are way down. I mean, it's interesting. I thought things would sort of bounce back after Pride Month, after the debacle with the tuck-friendly swimwear and all the, you know, in-your-face pride displays for children's clothing. I thought people would kind of like start going back in July, but it looks like that hasn't really happened yet. Even with, I mean, we'll see what happens with like the back to school stuff, but I didn't buy any of my back to school school supplies at Target this year for the first time. And I don't really want to go into a Target, frankly. So let's hope it continues. I think it's really cool.
I think it is really cool that it's continued this far. We didn't get our back to school supplies at Target this year either. And so I think that's a common theme. Are we getting better at having some teeth, Peachy? It feels like we're getting better, but is that just me being wishful thinking?
Yeah, I think it honestly depends on the specific brand. I mean, Bud Light was easy for people to say no to. You know, that was such a mismatch of the marketing with Dylan Mulvaney and the core Bud Light audience, which is mostly, you know, young men. It was so discordant. It's such a dumb idea. So that was really easy for people. Other brands like, you know, Nike, who also used Dylan in some of their marketing, they're not really suffering at all. And I think it's very interesting. I think it is sort of hit or miss. It's not just no one on the right will ever buy a product from a woke corporation again. That's really not happening. It's really case by case. You know, with Nike, I mean, it's mostly, you know, young women in their 30s who want to look cool at the gym. They want to look fashionable. They want to look stylish. So here you have like sort of, you know, female vanity, which I am occasionally guilty of also, fighting against, well, you know, woke corporation, like shopping, you know, moral with like a moral purpose. They're really in conflict. I mean, Dylan was also in a marketing campaign for Ulta Beauty, which is like a huge, you know, competitor to Sephora. They sell all the cool makeup brands, all the skincare products. I am guilty of shopping at Ulta Beauty, okay? Despite Dylan Mulvaney being their spokesperson, just because literally there's no alternative, right? There's nowhere else you're going to find all the brands you want at some decent prices, all those services in one place. And as a woman, you know, your priorities are different. You're just trying to like get through your day and like look cute or whatever. So it really is a case by case basis, but I think that it is very hopeful seeing how these big brands, people are really enjoying seeing them suffer. So like, if you feel like it's already having an effect, I think that makes it much more likely that people are gonna continue boycotting because it's sort of fun to see them pay for their transgressions. You know, I mean, they can't get away with it anymore in some brands. But you know, other brands are not gonna really have those problems. I mean, Barbie was, you know, woke. It's at Warner Brothers. It's a huge Hollywood production. The screenwriter is a far left feminist. The actors are on the left. But, you know, there's a transgender man playing a Barbie. But it is the most successful movie that Warner Brothers has ever made, basically. Because at the end of the day, people are sort of want to have fun. They just want like the easy path. It's 2 hours of escapist fun. And you know, you'll kind of swallow like whatever the like woke message is just because it actually is, you know, an entertaining movie. I mean, that's the problem that the right has. They're not really able to figure out a way to provide cool products, to provide competitors to Nike, to provide, you know, movies that can compete with that yet. It's not enough just to be like unwoke and just to be on the right. Like, here's my coffee or here's my beer. I'm a conservative, buy it for me. That's not enough. People are not really ready to just only shop because they know the owner shares their politics or shares their ideology on gender or whatever. That's not quite enough, especially with young people. I think that teenagers, I've talked this about with my kids, teenagers think that's sort of cringe, you know, to shop, buy a pair of sneakers based on, you know, who the CEO voted for or whatever. Like, to them, that like is totally stupid and they don't even understand that. When I try to explain to them, honey, we're not actually going to Target today, you know, they're like, why? I don't get it. So I think that just for young people, they want to look cool. I mean, those very like, you know, young kind of childish impulses still reign supreme. They're not kind of thinking long term, maybe the way that you and I are. So we have a ways to go. I mean, one way you can think of it is instead of trying to build new brands, like recreate Target, build your own Warner Brothers, we just have to sort of try to take back these brands that predate wokeness. You know, these are our brands. Disney is my childhood brand. You know, I grew up with this stuff. If we can kind of take these corporations and force them to remove the politics, the problem is solved. And I mean, that is something that we have to work on politically with policy. And I think we can get there more easily.
Let's talk about the ones that don't work, like one you brought up, Nike. Okay, so chicks want to look like dimes at the gym, and ain't no guy going to complain about that.
Right.
But there are a bunch of athletic apparel companies out there. But you're right. It has not hurt Nike. Look, if you're a dime and you want to show off a little bit at the gym, you have options. It's not just Nike. But Nike, they even embraced the Kaepernick stuff. They never got hurt at all, whereas Bud Light gets wiped out. I understand with something like you pointed out, makeup, where you don't have options. I get that. But Nike, there are options, yet they're untouchable. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do actually try to avoid buying Nike shoes for my kids. But then you're like, oh, well, I have to check on Adidas. Oh, no, they have, you know, transgender models, too. There's New Balance. New Balance seems to be like maybe a safer place. It gets exhausting, you know, and I think that moms who are just like me trying to make sure everybody has new shoes for school are just looking for a good deal, frankly. I mean, things are so expensive that I think people are just seeing, like, whatever, like, the cheapest plain sneaker is, that's what they'll go for. And luckily, that's usually not Nike. Nike is way overpriced, and I think the quality has gone down. So maybe I think that is what people should look at. But for example, women wearing Nike clothes who want to look hot at the gym, I mean, I'm guilty of buying Lululemon. My girlfriends, my mom friends wear Lululemon. Our daughters love Lululemon. Lululemon, I don't think has had like a transgender model in their women's yoga pants, which are, you know, $100. Women don't care. Women don't care. Women want to look, want to wear if you don't have the Lululemons on at Pilates or at yoga or on the hike or a pickup at school, you know, if you're in like a dupe, you know, a knockoff, people will notice. And it's like it's a very female thing. You know, you want to look cool. You want to have the right brand. And that, even the Lululemon they're a far left corporation. They were full Black Lives Matter, posting the Black Square. They support, they were anti, you know, overthrowing Roe v. Wade. They give money to Planned Parenthood, all that, the whole, you know, feminist package. They support all that, but it hasn't stopped girls from wanting to be like look like a Lululemon girl, who, you know, someone who can afford to shop at Lululemon. So again, there are no good alternatives. There's Amazon knockoffs, which are fine. I've had those too. But it's just like this sort of brand appeal that just, you know, it speaks to the like the inner, you know, vain heart of the average woman. I'm guilty of that also. It's really hard to sort of part us from those habits. And maybe if there were alternative brands that were also cool, that looked great, that were popular, but you kind of want to be trendy also, and every single thing that's trendy is also woke. And that's the problem, you know? Not, you know, the brands that's that aren't trendy problem. Are sort of considered, yeah.
Yeah, I forget how much harder it is for women. Like, dudes would never notice the brand of somebody's pants. But of course women would notice the brand. My wife would notice the brand in a heartbeat. I wouldn't know if you made the pants and you're upstairs. I would never know at all. Peachy, thank you so much. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Bye-bye.
You bet. We have a light in the mood that made me crack up out loud. Out loud. You're going to want to stick around for Light in the Mood tonight. Even it's almost cringe. Like, it'll make you wince, and then you're going to laugh. Gosh. All right, before we get to it, I bet you cringe when you have to pay those timeshare fees every year, don't you? Because you don't want to pay it. You want out of that timeshare. You don't use it anymore. You retired. Kids moved away. You just never fell in love with it. You want it out. But they tell you what? What do they tell you? I know what they tell you. No, sorry. Can't get out. Got to read the contract. Go to paragraph 10, section E. You sign the contract. Read that small print. Pay your annual fees every year. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. They've heard all this before. They will get you out permanently, legally and permanently. They are 99% successful. Family company. Over 18,000 people are now out thanks to Lone Star Transfer. Phone call. You are one phone call from being out. 844-310-2646. Get out of your timeshare, all right? We'll be back. All right. We're going to lighten the mood here. It's time to lighten the mood. I'm sorry. I'm already laughing because this local news report, it's just funny. You know somebody got fired over what I'm about to play for you, and it's absolutely worth it. Gosh, it's friggin' hysterical. Before we get to that, though, let's do this. You know what's not funny? Allergies. They suck, don't they? And so I know everyone does. We all do it. You all search for the newest over-the-counter medication. Just give me some pills, right? We all do the same thing. I don't have to take any of those anymore. No, I didn't find some magic new over-the-counter pill. I found Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier ever. The air in my room where I sleep, it's being cleaned constantly. Viruses, mold, cleaned out of the air. Not smells covered up, air cleaned. Where I'm bringing you the show, right here in the studio, Eden Pure Thunderstorm, plugged in right over there. I own 9 of them. Take the smell out of your air. Take the allergies out of your air. They sell 3 packs, $200 off. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, though, all right? EdenPureDeals.com. now. Oh, yeah, promo code Jesse, otherwise you're not going to save money. Now, on top of all the other problems, it's kind of wild that the president of the United States of America is on camera behaving wildly inappropriately with children. There are many, 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 many video clips of this. We've played it for you several times on the show. I have had the displeasure of knowing many cop friends who have informed me how these people who are pedos, how they act around children. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly how Joe Biden acts. How excited he is to see them, grabbing them, kissing them, nuzzling them. It's really friggin' disgusting. And we don't even ever talk about it as if it's a side issue. We won't even get into the Ashley Biden diary. Yesterday, a bunch of kids came to the White House. Joe Biden called himself daddy.
I want to say one thing to your children. I know some really great ice cream places around here. And daddy owes you. So talk to me afterwards.
It's really gross. Honestly, it's really gross. We all know what we're thinking. Now, that said, it is funny when somebody who works at a local news organization decides to have a little fun with the news segment. I loved this one.
It's not clear what may have been taken, and no arrests have been made.
A 71-year-old man is accused of inappropriately touching a 12-year-old girl at the Walmart in West Mifflin Sunday afternoon. According to...
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.